Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another live episode of the Butterfly Evolution Show. Tika and I want to thank you all for, again, tuning in with us tonight, choosing Butterfly Evolution over Monday Night Football. So we want to just be sure to give you all a special, special thanks for continuing to listen to us through the season. We are very appreciative. So want to remind you before we move any further that Tika and I both are a bit under the weather. I seem to be a bit better tonight than Tika seems to be right now, so bear with us. We will both be on at least one time or another, so she may have to disappear for a minute, and as I may have to, but I think I feel a little bit better and we'll have more chance of getting through, but we'll work through it. So just wanted to remind you all of that before we move forward. So we've kind of got a hold of this bug, I guess, due to the weather changes and things like that. So before moving forward, I wanted to just get that out. Remember that the chat line is open. I said that, and that reminded me to open it. It is open now, and you must be a registered follower of the show. If you are listening to us online, remember that you do have to be a registered follower of the show in order to submit your question or comment. Now, if you're listening by phone, just remember you only need to select the number one if you are wanting to come on live and you have a question or a comment. So you only need to select the number one if you do want to come on air with your question or comment. Otherwise, just continue to listen as you are doing now. If by chance you do select the number one and we pull you in, just let us know that it was an error and that you don't have anything to add, and we'll put you back in queue, but that allows us to move forward pretty quickly in the show. Couple other things. If we're ever disconnected, if I'm disconnected, Tika will be able to stay on and vice versa. If we're ever disconnected due to things that we cannot control, technology, weather, so forth, just please stay on and give us a minute or two and just stay with us, and one of us will be able to carry on. I want to also, before going into tonight's topic, just really thank two of our listeners, and I won't share their names because I'm not sure if I really told them that I was going to say this, but had the wonderful opportunity to speak with two of our listeners who decided to take themselves to dinner. And as you all remember, last week we shared that or commented on just getting out there and doing things by yourself. There's nothing wrong with that, and it's really enjoyable, and it allows you to get to know you, even with tonight's topic, a broken heart. You know, sometimes you just need to give yourself time and endure, go through what you're going through so that you can grow through what you're going through. So two of our listeners did do this. They took themselves to dinner and enjoyed it. So I am very thankful that we have listeners that are also putting these things to work. Because as Tika and I said, we have to do the same thing. I shared and might share this tonight, but I shared some things with Tika that, you know, I was kind of going through this week, and I just had to talk myself right out of it. I was actually sharing with someone today. I felt like God just popped me right upside my head and just said, I shared this with Tika, your Monday night fool is what I call it. You better practice what you preach. So, you know, in an instant, I just had to snap myself right out of a situation. So I'm thankful that we have listeners that are doing that, and I challenge you all to continue to do that. And remember, you have a choice. You have a choice to live with a broken heart. You have a choice to change your mindset. You have a choice to change and accept things. It's a choice. Life is a choice. So thank you to the two, and if you want to come on and share your experience with us, I see that you're on tonight, please feel free to do so. Secondly, have not heard from anyone who has recently moved their trash can. I cannot say that enough. Some of you may think that's the most silliest thing, but I cannot say that enough. move your trash can. Again, it allows you, even if you don't share it with us, it allows you to see just how much your mind keeps, just how routine even your mind is with your thoughts and your habits and so forth. So if you don't do it for the show and share it with the show, you don't do it for us, do it for you, just so that you can see. Sometimes you go places in your mind before, out of habit and out of routine, before you even know that you're going to go there. And that's why we say it's a choice. Once it's there, you have a choice to control where you go with it, what you do with it, and so forth. So, and that can be, we can relate that into tonight's topic, which is, again, a broken heart. So we are going to continue to challenge you all to do that, because we can easily get stuck in habits. We can live our life through habit form. I think we've mentioned on the show before how I was always amazed once I found out that kids that were being abused, they want to stay in the home with their parents. It's all they know. It's who they know, regardless of how bad it seems. Rarely you find a child that says, yes, I want to leave this house, I want to go. They would rather stay in the abusive situation. So those are the kind of things we do out of habit and just out of what we know. We fear the unknown, and that's not what we should do. So we're not going to keep you too long if you guys don't, you know, participate and share some things. Again, Tika and I are going to move through pretty quickly. And for those of you who are just coming on, I see that some of you just popped in. Just bear with us because, again, Tika and I both are feeling a little bit under the weather tonight, but we're going to make it through. So tonight's topic is a broken heart. And Tika, are you still on with us?
I'm on. Okay. I'll let you go ahead and get started. I just want to say that I did move my trash can. You said if any of us could share what moving the trash can proved, I moved the trash can, and I was dropping paper and trash and stuff on the floor all day long in that blank spot. So it is something so simple that you think, oh, moving the trash can. I promise you, you know that it's sitting somewhere else, and I had it visual. It's not like I hid it somewhere else, but I had it just visual on another side of the wall. But I just walked around the corner and dropped it right there, and I was picking up trash and stuff all day long because that's not where the trash is. And so our mind gets so in tune and accustomed to something being a certain way that we think, oh, well, it's not possible to change. Yes, it is. It takes work, but it is possible to change. To me, it's the mindset, to change your mindset and to change the way something that has always gone or the way you believe it to be. It's a paradigm shift that you have to go through. So taking the trash can, that's just giving you a little glimpse of saying, of course, you need to make a greater step in a paradigm shift of the way you think or the way you believe or the way you perceive. But if you can move that trash can and just look at how you will go and drop trash there, it'll make you think, okay, what else am I not changing that can be changed? Or I've tried to change it, but I think I've changed it, but I'm doing everything the same way. Because to me, that was the biggest thing I got out of it. Oh, I know that I moved this, and I think that I'm going to go and do it, you know, put it in the other area, but I keep going back to the same area.
So I agree. And that again, it seems so small, but it's so relevant, I guess is the better word, to even the topic that we are talking about tonight, because we will remain in situations and with people where our hearts are just broken. We will continue to just work through that life with that person or in that situation with broken hearts, because we're afraid to step out. We're afraid to confront the situation and so many things. So it may seem a little elementary and a little silly, but do it. It won't hurt. It cannot harm you. So in tonight's topic, again, it is a broken heart. I'm sure we all have been there, done that, had one or two of them. I certainly have, and I tell you, I just keep, I'm just really excited time after time of how much these show topics affect my life in a positive way, although it makes me go back and reflect on some things and some situations and some times that my heart was broken and that life seemed to have been so broken. But even things sometimes you think you're over, and people that you think you're over, you can bring up situations, you can think about things, and again, you have to just really learn that I have control over where I go with my thoughts in my life And then, of course, you have to be able to give some of that control up to God and what God's word says to us, which all things work to the good for those who love the Lord. And that, again, I said it last week, but that has been my verse for a couple of weeks now. So there comes a time you just have to kind of give it up and trust that where you are, because we can grow from any situation, particularly broken hearts. So I think back to some of the, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but I think back now to some of the things and the people have broke, you know, that I've allowed to break my heart or take me into a state of having a broken heart. And I think now, thank you, Lord. Thank you that my heart was broken. Thank you for not allowing that situation to come to light any further than you did. And some of the things that, positive things in my life and people in my life today came from those broken hearts. So look at it as one door being closed so that another can open. And what can I get from it? What lesson can I get from it? And the broken heart, I promise you, it doesn't last forever. And if it does, it's something that you're not giving up and you're not dealing with it. Not saying it won't hurt and you won't reflect upon that, but it doesn't last forever. At some point, you begin to see some things that you contributed, that you allowed, and then you start to see, how can I grow from this and how can I move on and embrace my today and my future. So in tonight's topic for me, a couple of things that I want to address on this end, and Tico may have some different ones, but number one, define and identify a broken heart, or just what does that term mean? And I'll share that in just a minute. Number two, what are some of the things that causes a broken heart? And number three, how does a broken heart affect our day-to-day living and our relationships? Number four, what, if anything, can we do to mend a broken heart? And number five, lastly for me, is why is it important to identify these areas? We're going to spend some time, of course, on what I think most people associate a broken heart with. And in most cases, that's just basically a breakup, bad relationship, you know, the end of a relationship of someone that we love and think or thought that we were going to have a future with and so forth. So most people, I find that when they think about or hear the term broken heart, they think of breakups, relationships, and love and so forth. That seems to be the most popular reason. Well, I'm not sure that's the most important reason. I think that maybe a better way of saying that is I don't think that a broken heart can be measured by someone else, and that reminded me of kind of like a crisis. A crisis is in the eye of the beholder. So basically, there's some things that I can go through seemingly without being bothered that may break you, and vice versa. There's some things that may break me that you think, you know, that's not a big deal, Tammy, you know, get over it. But we go through things, and things affect us in most cases based on our upbringing, our past hurts, our past pains, things that we've not dealt with in the way that we should. So I think the best way to sum that up is, you know, we can't really, or we should not measure someone's broken heart and time it based on our experiences and what we've gone through. So just keep that in mind as you are dealing with your own broken heart or in dealing with other people who have had broken hearts as well. And I think that's everybody. Some people may not own up to that, but that's everybody. This topic, just to share a little bit with you, this topic came about through a conversation with someone who is a listener of the show, and they were expressing how, and it was a woman, a female, we were expressing basically how it seems that more men are becoming or are emotionally unavailable, for a better word. And what we're saying basically is that men, of course, your hearts are broken as well, and we speak from the term of men because, again, we're women, and we talk mostly about you all when we're having our conversations and what's going on. So what we mean by that is men, you guys hurt too. We hurt you all too, and you have broken hearts as well, but it seems that it affects you in a different way. It affects you very differently than it does women, in the sense whereas I think women, we talk more. We share more with our friends and, you know, things like that. We talk about when you hurt us or how we feel about the relationship and so forth, whereas I don't know how much guys will give into that kind of conversation. I don't know if a guy would just go and say, you know, hey, I'm really feeling this girl, and I'm really afraid that if I let go, the same thing will happen. You know, my heart would be broken again. I don't think that you guys really share on that level. I could be wrong, but I don't think a great number of you share on that level, whereas women, we do. There's somebody that knows it all. There's at least one person in our lives that know just about everything about, you know, what we're feeling about the opposite sex and so forth. So that being said, I think once it happens to you guys or to the guys, they particularly shut down in a sense, and they start what we were talking about in this conversation, this kind of cat and mouse game where I'm going to shut down on you until I determine that you've had enough, and then I'm going to come back and give you just enough to kind of start this process over again and keep it going. So it becomes like a cat and mouse game, or another way I like to reference is the game tag. You know how that is. You play tag, you chase me until you hit me, and now you're it, and now I have to chase you, or vice versa. So that's what that's how this conversation or this topic came about, basically, in having that conversation about, you know, and I keep hearing that over and over again, or more so lately than I used to, from women. And the interesting part about it is that most women seem to think that these are guys who are more than capable of completely letting go and moving past that broken heart, but they're still stuck there. They're still stuck in that particular moment because these guys feel like, I gave you my all, I did all I could do and then some, but you broke my heart. Because let's be honest, women, again, we break some hearts as well. It's not just the guys that are the heartbreakers. So again, we're speaking about relationship now, but we are going to get into a deeper level of heartbreak in just a second. So that's how this topic came about. And interesting enough, again, it was from one of our listeners, and we just thought it was very appropriate to start talking about things that, again, keep us in bondage on the heart level. We've talked about the heart several times before. So that's where we're going with that tonight, again, getting a little bit deeper, because in another conversation I had a listener say to me that I think the heart is broken way before it's broken in a relationship, that the heart is broken prior to you ever getting to a point where you are in a relationship where you were expecting it to flow and become meaningful, you raising a family and so forth. And now I think that is, for me, the most important area, because that is the foundation. If we are starting out or entering into relationships with our heart already broken, then where does it go from there? So interesting enough, this conversation came about yesterday when this person was, we were talking about the topic, and they said, you know, I get that, but I think the heart is broken, you know, so much sooner than the time comes for a relationship. So I'm going to stop there before I get into the question parts. Tika, you want to go ahead and introduce your part, or would you like for me to move forward? I don't know how you're feeling there.
I had a little something different than you had. I just want to elaborate on some of the things you were talking about with a broken heart, because when I think of a broken heart, I do associate that with relationships. But then when you mention about a broken heart, having a broken heart prior to relationships started, I always associated that with being broken, perhaps through childhood, or broken through unmanifested dreams, unmanifested desires of the heart, broken by not being able to see any of the desires of your heart come to pass, and just walking through a point in time of life to where everything just always seems to be against you, and so you feel defeated, and your self-esteem and confidence is extremely low, and you walk into a relationship and with low expectations of the other, but low expectations and very low self-value and self-worth. You have a very low self value system in yourself. And so I see that as walking into something broken. And I personally don't see how anything good can come out of when a person's completely broken. So I went a little different in the way that everything's lined up, but just elaborate on that, and then I'll let you go back and get started with yours, and then I'll come with mine afterwards.
Okay. Thanks, Tika. And again, for those of you who are just coming on, I just want to make sure that you all know that that we're moving forward a little slow because we're both a little bit under the weather, so just bear with us. And I'm saying that because we have new people that I see are continuing to come in on the line, so I just wanted to make sure that you all know that we're okay. If we sound a little shaky, it's not our fault. So thank you, Tika, for sharing that. Just getting back to going into the topic a little bit more, even from what Tika said, interesting enough, in reading and studying for this topic, more so going back to the part where the heartbreak begins prior to your first relationship heartbreak, I want to read real quickly here a broken heart, and this is just basically how it came about in describing or defining a broken heart. It is a common metaphor used to describe the intense emotional pain or suffering one feels after losing a loved one, whether through death, divorce, breakup, physical separation, betrayal, or romantic rejection. And what caught me there is betrayal. And I think that's more so where we're talking about that first heartbreak, because I think that for the most part, the love, we get that. We get what a heartbreak means when someone breaks up with us, when someone cheats on us, when someone leaves us. I think we get that and we expect the broken heart. And in some cases, I think we sometimes expect the relationship not to work. I'm just being honest, because there's so much divorce, there's so much breakup, there's so many single parent homes. So I think in some cases, not saying it's right, but we even think that this is probably not going to work. But we're going to flip it a little bit here for just a minute, talking about when we're growing up, we have mothers and we have fathers or whomever is going to be responsible for our upbringing. And when I heard the word betrayal being described or describing a heartbreak, it made me go there and think more about what this person said about the heartbreak beginning prior to a relationship. And this is because I believe when we are children, we have, again, whether it's a mother or father, hopefully both, or grandparents, someone that we are entrusting or that we are feeling, that we feel like, this is my person, this is my protector, this is my provider. And usually, again, hopefully it's mom, dad, or both, hopefully both, or grandparents. So in many cases, not saying it's particularly white, but in many cases we set up these high expectations of mothers and fathers, and rightfully so. We should set expectations or have expectations of parents and siblings or so forth. But I think when we are broken, when our hearts are broken from the family aspect of it, I think we see it more as betrayal, because we are expecting so much from them, particularly as we grow older and we start comparing our lives to other children, other relationships that children have with their parents, or the lack of your relationship. So I think the heart starts to really break or shut down, like the person said yesterday, soon before that relationship. And I think because of that, we're taking that heartbreak or that broken heart into those relationships, and now the break or the heartbreak continues to pile up, because again, we'll get into this a little bit later, I don't think we deal with things, we don't deal with issues, we don't confront issues for many, many reasons. But we've been taught, I think, to just kind of go with the flow and not stir anything up. We look at confrontation or confronting people with the truth, even if it's the truth about how you feel about a certain situation. We don't do that. So we walk into the world with this pile of heartbreak, so to speak, and we certainly take those into relationships, which is why I think one reason why so many relationships fail, because we are not whole and complete, and we are figuring, if I couldn't get what I needed from my mom, if I couldn't get what I needed from my dad or from my grandparents, if they were not willing to provide these things to me, or if I wasn't important enough for them to provide these things to me or make a way for me to be emotionally capable and stable and ready for this world, and not saying that they are totally responsible for your emotional makeup, but there is a time where they are, when we are children and when we need to feel safe, when we need to feel loved and understood. There's a time when if you miss that and you don't go back and rekindle that and try to figure out where did we go wrong and start from there, it does set heartbreak up, and it does set the stage of how you allow people to love you going forward. So if you're entering in those relationships with all of that, all of this, then you're not giving that person all of you, so to speak. And so it could be signals that you are sending that make this person not per se break your heart, but make them think that you're just not as into them as you pretend to be. So it's important. That's why I said even through breakups and heartbreaks, you can learn something, even if it's what could I have did differently. Did I love unconditionally? Did I give unconditionally? Was I honest? Because a lot of times I think it's about, in relationships, going back to that part, in relationships it's more about the rejection, because I think we know in most cases that this is, whether we admit it or not at that time, that this is not going to go anywhere. We just overlook some things. So it's important to know what you could do differently so that when you get through all of the learning and the heartbreak, what will I do next? But instead, we kind of give up. And that was going back to the conversation that we were having with the young lady. Some guys, and ladies as well, but our conversation was about the guys, they just give up because I'm not going to let this happen to me again. It's harder to get men to kind of go into that era anyway. So when a woman breaks their heart in that sense, it's hard for them to kind of to get back into it. So the betrayal, again, was what really stuck out with me on that. That being said, I want to read what betrayal, and I'm going to read this word for word as well, what the definition of betrayal is, and I want to put more emphasis on betrayal means backstabbing, or same as backstabbing. It is the breaking or violation of a presumptive contract, trust, or confidence that produces moral and psychological conflict within a relationship amongst individuals or between organizations or between individuals and organizations. So let's listen to that again. It is the breaking or violation of a presumptive contract or trust, another one of our key words. Going back to as a young person, we need to be able to trust the people who are raising us. We need to be able to feel safe again. And in most cases, especially today, a lot of our kids are just not receiving what they need from parents, or whomever their caretakers are, from their guardians. They're just not. And I think this has been going on for so long, and we've come to a place where we're starting to see it manifest even more now. I was having a conversation with a lady, and we were talking about how when Brandon was growing up, and she's going through the same thing with her son, who's in middle school now, she says, you know, I don't have this big, gigantic, nice home. My home is nice, but it's not as big as some of these people who have like a whole wing. Their children have a wing upstairs. And she said, but they all want to flock at my house. And I said, I can relate, because same, my house is not huge, but even when Brandon was growing up, I mean, the kids wanted to be there. And it's because they're not looking for things. They're looking for love. They're looking for instruction. They're looking for someone to get on to them. They're looking for someone to care enough to say, no, you cannot. But I've heard kids say, you know, my mom doesn't care. I can do anything. And what they're saying is, you're lucky because your mom does care. She does tell you no. So that's what we mean when we're talking about that heartbreak before we get out into the world. And I wanted to just really focus on betrayal a little bit for us tonight, because again, it's very important for us to understand we're all, sometimes all this stuff that we're getting in today or we find ourselves in or dealing with or going through comes from what we've gone through as children that we've not completely addressed in our lives, even with the people that we need to address it with. And I'm sorry to say it, but, you know, growing up, I always heard that women, when, since we're talking about the men and how their hearts are broken and how they love or not love afterwards, you know, I've always heard a woman cannot do what a man can do, and that's unfortunate, but it's true. You know, we can do things that they do, and we are seen differently. So it's really harder for our children are much harder on mothers than they are fathers. So we as mothers have to be really sure that we are setting that emotional stage so that our young men and our young girls enter into the world with complete hearts, clean hearts, as much as we can. I mean, we can't get away from all of it, and some things they just have to go through, but it is our responsibility to make sure that we are sending our children out with complete emotional, as best we can, hearts. Tika, how are you coming? You want to jump in there?
Yes, I do. I'm going to apologize to our audience. If I start coughing, please forgive me. I almost don't know if I talk too much, if I'm going to start coughing, but I have a dry itch in my chest, and so it kind of makes me cough, but I really want to try to bring something to the show tonight. But my portion was, what I want to bring to the show was the steps that we begin to take with a broken heart. Once the relationship has ended and the direction we begin to walk, once we have in our mind that I have a broken heart, the steps that we begin to take. I found and I read, and it's proven that friction in relationships, that proves that the relationship is an incompatible relationship and that you can't weave opposite factors into unity and you cannot weave opposite beings into unity. 2 Corinthians 6 and 14 says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. But what do righteousness and wickedness have in common?" The only reason why I wanted to bring that into play was because when a relationship is put together, a lot of times we don't realize that these are two people that come from two very large, when I say the dynamics are totally almost opposite in every way you could think of, the dynamics of the female family, the dynamics of the male family. One person could have come from a family who attends church, who has family gatherings, who shows love towards one another, who understands what a family unit is. One person could have come from someone who watches the family take care of the bills, who watches the family help other family members when they're sick or shut in, who watches, you know, other families go out and serve the community. That could be somebody coming from that one side of that relationship. One person could have come from that type of environment. On the other hand, the other person could have come from an environment that no one attended church. They had no upbringing of not only of God, but of no higher being or no higher creator at all. They didn't have or witness a family support system. They didn't witness or recognize unity in the household where when arguments would come up or when any type of situation would take place, they didn't recognize a wholesome or a healthy way to handle things. So that person could have watched, okay, when this happens, this is how we deal with it. When this situation comes up, my dad just jets out the door, flies out the door, so that's what I see, so that's what I'm going to repeat. The person could have come from that totally opposite side of the track. When they have family members that are sick, they watch their family members turn the other way or say that they can't do or can't help, or they watch their family members be malicious. These could be two people that come from totally ends of the track, and this is a couple that will come together. but they're opposites. They're opposites in every way, shape, and form. The Bible says do not be equally yoked with unbelievers. One person believes, one person doesn't believe. But then there are other things that causes you to be attracted to that person. But you tell you, you know, this is a group, this is a couple that tells themselves, okay, this will work. We will make this work. But then when reality sets in and this relationship doesn't work, whether it's been 5 years or 10 years or 15 years or 20 years or 30, I believe a lot of times when the one that knew without a shadow of a doubt that this is going to work no matter what, I think they walk away with a different form of brokenness versus the one that there's usually one that walks away with a different form of brokenness and one that walks away feeling, well, I'm okay. I'm just going to move on to the next. To me, I've discovered in this, because I hear a lot of this in, like Tammy says, women open up. Women open up with women. We just, it's almost like a sisterhood bond, in a sense. We women open up. And a lot of times I find that the one, there's usually one, and not just saying it's the women, because I've heard the one that gave their all. I've heard of men who gave their all. And one was a sponge, and one was a giver, and one was a taker. And that can be in both sexes. A female could be the giver, and the male could be the taker, and vice versa. But the one who felt that they gave their all, they walked away feeling completely and absolutely sucked dry. But then the one that feels sucked dry, they walk out of this with such a heavy, downtrodden demeanor and low self-worth that they literally walk with their head down. They really feel hopeless. They really do see and feel like there's a dark cloud hovering over their head. But also what I wanted to bring to it is if you have been in this situation or you've recognized someone in this situation, one thing I want to say, and hopefully I can be a voice of encouragement, is if and when this relationship ends, and the majority of the time they do end because they're unequally yoked, if and when this relationship ends, the one who felt that they gave their all, they beat up on themselves. They feel extremely heavy. They feel they're completely condemning and judgmental of themselves. And, of course, both people need to get help in a sense, but If I could be a voice of hope in saying that if this is something that ended, you know, to see this as a blessing in disguise, because God knows where you would have been in another 5 years or another 10 years. It could have been something that would have taken you down a road much worse than what you've gone down. And so that's the part that I brought to it, the area and the ways and the walks that we go through once we have a broken heart and the steps that we take that's opposite of the direction God wants you to go in, but with a downtrodden, heaviness on the inside. It's the road we tend to take, a road that a lot worse for us, and we usually take that road that winds up causing us to get in a worse situation than a better situation before we wind up turning around to get back on the right road.
Okay, thank you, Tika. I think we have a caller. I'm going to check the line real quick here. I did not say this earlier, but the way that we identify you, caller, is we'll give the area code, so that is your first 3 digits, your area code, and then the last 4 digits of the number that you are calling from. And this is a 901, again, the area code of 901. The last 4 is 4351. Caller, you're on the air with us. If you have a comment or a question, you're live on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Tammy?
Good. How are you?
I am fine. I'm listening to all you women talking. I'm going to give my point of view from a man's perspective about a broken heart.
Oh, thank you.
Whether it's from a romance relationship or dealing with a broken heart from family members, because honestly, my mom just passed 2 years ago, and she left 8 siblings behind. To be honest with you, we didn't all see eye to eye on some of the material possessions that she left behind. And I'm also speaking from the aspect of giving all you got on the job and not being and not getting that promotion that you worked so hard for. So a broken heart can come in all kinds of figures, you know. But the thing I've learned throughout life when it comes to having a broken heart or receiving a broken heart, first of all, God has already told us, do not put your trust in man. So we need to kind of think hard on that. We need to kind of realize no matter how much we love a person, or no matter how much we work hard on that job, or no matter how hard we love our brothers and our sisters, that they are human. And human beings are just like the weather. They are subject to change. So we need to prepare ourselves. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. We need to prepare ourselves for the possible heartbreak. Sometimes we seem to get so wrapped up into other people's and things around us, we tend to lose ourselves in them. But instead of sometimes embracing that spouse or that loved one or that job, learn to embrace yourself. Learn to love yourself. Learn to sometimes put yourself first so that when these, it's kind of like taking shelter from the storm. You know what I'm saying? It's like if you know it's going to rain, you buy an umbrella. So, in other words, all I'm saying is just keep an umbrella on hand because you never know when the showers of heartbreak is going to fall on you. You know, we got to exercise the heart in a spiritual manner. We always listen to the doctor say, eat right, jog, exercise, to exercise the heart. But what about the spiritual food that the heart needs? Let's pray. Let's meditate on God. Because God didn't say, He didn't say that if all your days on earth are going to be happy days. So we just got to exercise the heart in a spiritual manner that and pray to God so that when these heartbreaks come, we don't lose ourselves. You know what I'm saying? Because it's not guaranteed that your wife is going to be with you. It's not guaranteed that your husband is always going to be with you. It's not guaranteed that your family is not going to walk that 100%. It's not going to be behind you 100% all the time because they're king. The only one that can die for you and the only one that's going to stand behind you 100% is Jesus Christ. Everybody else is human. And a human being cannot go with you 100% all of the way because they don't have the capabilities. So I'm just saying, in order to not get so heartbroken, just realize that these possibilities can come. Regardless of who you're married to or who you may be dating and how big and happy your family is going to come, just don't let your guard down that the possibility of somebody letting you down or a heartbreak is not impossible. That way that when it does come toward you, it doesn't hit and hurt you so bad.
Well, I think we're just going to end the show because all has been said. That was awesome. And you guys, this is his first, I think this is your first time listening to the show, but I was noticing that a lot of the things you said, particularly about the rain and the umbrella and preparing ourselves, we talked about that last week and saying, you know, not being prepared, you know, or being prepared is like walking in the rain with an umbrella and not having it open. You know, that would look really crazy to me, but both of you hit it right on the nail with the things that you said, and you are so right. We need to learn not to expect, as Zeke and I go to our books a lot, in the Course of Miracles it says, remember no good or evil of anyone, because people that are good to you today can become evil to you tonight, and vice versa. People that are evil to you today will sometimes end up being the person that helps you the most. So every day, if that's hard to do sometimes, particularly with loved ones and the people that you expect so much from because you give so much, and that's why we also remember that in everything you do, do it so that you are bringing glory to God. Again, not that we always do it, but we need to keep in mind that what we do, no matter what it is, do it so that, in a way, you are bringing glory to God. And that allows you not to expect from other people because, like he said, people change. People will do you this way today and this way tomorrow. So they're human, as his word. So thank you. Thank you from this end. Thank you so much for coming in, and I hope you continue to listen to the shows. But you, that was truly a blessing. All that you said was truly a blessing on my end. Tika?
Thank you. Thank you.
It was truly a blessing. Thank you.
Okay, well, feel free to log back in. I'm going to put you back in queue if you don't have anything else to, any other questions or comments? I think we lost. Okay, I think we have another caller, and again, we're going to identify you by the area code and the last four digits of your number. We have a caller from 910 and the last four is 6158. Caller, you're on the air with us. Caller, 910 and the last four, 6158. Okay. Well, maybe that
maybe
one was
don't
in
know.
Here. Yeah, we're going to keep going here. Tika, you want to pick up where you left off or you want me to jump back in here? I know we kind of cut you off.
Go back in because my throat is itching really bad, so go ahead.
Okay. Want to move forward with the second part. What are some of the things that causes a broken heart? And I think we've kind of covered that, but again, a breakup, it could be the death of a loved one, spouse, your children, a parent, and our caller just hit on some of those things as well, a friend. Even the death, and I shouldn't say even, but the death of a pet can break someone's heart because in today's world, sometimes a pet is all that someone thinks that they have. So those are the things, a breakup, the death of a loved one, parents, and so forth, and, again, the betrayal. And I really want you guys to study more on betrayal and see if you have some of that in your heart along with that broken heart, because typically when the heart is broken, you really do feel betrayed because of what you did for a person and what you expect that person to do for you based on what you did for them. A little bit more on betrayal, then we're going to move forward, but I wanted to add this on betrayal. Betrayal at any stage of the socio-developmental cycle results in extreme biopsychological distress far beyond the event itself. So that means that you may feel betrayed at such an early age, and what it's saying here that it sets in distress far beyond the event itself. So you're taking that out into the world, into those relationships, into on that job. You're looking for things on the job that only, and other places as well, only God can give you. That's another thing. I think we're searching to be fulfilled by things and people. And like our caller said, people are fickle. Things are here today, can be here today, gone tomorrow. We have tornadoes that will come and wash every piece of your house away down to the pictures. So we cannot, should not put our trust or our being into things or people. People are not, we take people on as ownership. This is my man, this is my woman, my child. Even our children don't belong to us. In saying that, you know, all of this takes part in that, but the betrayal part I really wanted to stress more information on because, again, it says distress far beyond the event itself. It disrupts the person's established mental model by which he or she views, understands, and responds to his or her environment and life events. I want to read that one more time just to make sure you all get this. Betrayal at any stage of the socio-developmental cycle results in extreme biopsychological distress far beyond the event itself. It disrupts the person's established mental model by which he or she views, understands, and responds to his or her environment and life events. So it sets the stage of how you live, basically. If it's not resolved, if you don't learn that all things work to my good, all things, even the things that I don't per se feel comfortable in right now, we need to learn to grow through what we go through and stand on God's word that all things work to my good. And also that there's nothing that you have gone through, nothing that you will go through that someone else has not. The Word also tells us that. So we're not going to spend so much time on betrayal because that's not the topic tonight, but you do need to kind of understand and relate that sometimes to where you are. And again, it tells us how we are affected by our childhood pains and past, even through broken hearts. And it's good to know that we sometimes, those broken hearts are established, are there far before even a relationship matters. Because our first relationship that as children, I think, are with those loved ones. Are with those loved ones. And then, of course, we need to establish a relationship with God. That's I'm certain we all know that. Okay, so moving on. The third thing is, how does a broken heart affect our day-to-day living and our relationships? I see having a broken heart as the same as same things as we discussed so much on the show, such as unforgiveness. It's a lot of unforgiveness when you are still holding on to that broken heart, even with loved ones passing away. You know, our loved ones want us to move forward and live our lives to the greatest. You know, there's nothing worse I would want if I left this world is for Brandon to mourn over me. I would want him to be so happy. I would want him to live out everything that I've taught him. And I remember, this makes me think of a young boy who lost his mom at a really, really early age. And I think I shared this before, but this little person said that, and he said it in such a joking way, seemingly, because we ended up laughing about it. He was like, dang, I'm going to have to really be good now because she's going to see everything. So what he was saying was, you know, my mom on this world, she couldn't see everything that I did. I could come home basically and, you know, say what I want to say and that kind of thing. But he took upon that her leaving this world meant that she was up with God and she could see everything. So he was going to have to get it together. So somebody I'm sure is listening tonight or will listen to this show. You know, if you're grieving over a loved one or, you know, or sickness and something like that, we have to know that the person loved us and will want us to love life. They wouldn't want us to go broken. They would want us to find the happy moments, the happy times, the happy days, and reflect upon those and live out a legacy in happiness. So unforgiveness, fear, you know, broken heart sets up fear, anger for sure, and even anger with losing a loved one, anger with being rejected or divorced or walked out on, all of these things, they just don't allow us to live. They don't allow us. A lot of us are the walking dead, so to speak, and that's what this show is about. When Deacon and I were first getting it going, you know, we came up with dying to live, not knowing that just about everything we've been talking about is really about dying, the self-dying. Every hurt that you've experienced, every pain, you taking the time to address them, every broken heart that someone has put on you or you put on yourself or allowed someone to do has to die in order for you to live. And there's no sense in waking up, breathing, taking up air and having all these blessings upon us and wanting more. We have so much to be grateful for. We have so many things in this world. We can create a meal in the microwave in a matter of seconds, but we want more. I was having that conversation today. When it's cold, we want heat. When it's hot, we want air. Most of the time, I just drive with my windows down when it's so hot just so that I can know and feel just how blessed I am just to have the opportunity to turn on air. Now, that doesn't mean I'm that way in everything. There's some things I need to work upon just being more appreciative about. But we just need to live, and like our caller said earlier, trust God and put all of our being in God and being satisfied. Because, again, only God can give us what we are yearning and longing for and trying to get through others. And so, like Tika said, this being unequally yoked, also with these broken hearts, we look over things that we know that we don't want to deal with or we're not going to deal with later. So when on the relationship aspect of it, we will tolerate some things up front and then expect them to change later. And when they don't, our hearts are broken. Why, Lord? Why is this happening? Why am I here? When you've looked over so many things till you should know why you are here. So many areas, so many things go into that. And that's when you have to just acknowledge your broken heart and learn through and learn what you could do differently, what you need to change. But don't give up. Don't give up life. Don't give up living. Don't give up relationships. Don't give up happiness. Because just because one door closes doesn't mean another door is not going to open. It doesn't mean that one door, in most cases it means that when a door closes, if we're trusting God, then start looking at it as if, God, what do you have for me? This door has closed, so I know one door does not close without another one opening. It's just that we don't have control of when that one closes and when the other one opens. You just have to trust. And that's going back to what our caller said. That's putting your trust and your faith in God and not in people and things. The fourth thing, what, if anything, can we do to mend a broken heart? Number one, and there's many, many things, but number one, own up to yourself. Own up to it yourself. Basically, express. Have an expressive way about your feelings, even to the person that you feel has broken your heart. I know for me, with losing my grandmother when I was, you know, so young, I remember writing my grandmother a letter. And that, but I needed to do something, you know, because my heart was so broken. And as a child, you don't know what to do with all that brokenness. It goes back to expectations and our duties as parents and caregivers for these children. You know, I think that a lot of stuff should go in play before people are allowed to have children, because you can't go back and make all that right. I mean, you can't. But when we're that young, we don't know what to do with the things that we are faced with. There's so much put on some of our young people. They don't know how to be kids anymore. You know, they're not outside playing and communicating and talking and getting dirty and just all that stuff, just all that stuff. But I remember writing a letter to my grandmother, and that helped a lot. That helped me tremendously. It might sound crazy to somebody, but going back to what we said, you cannot measure someone's broken heart. You cannot put measure on that. Only it is in the eye of the beholder. So you have to own up to it. You have to have someone to express it to and someone to help you get through it. And if it's a betrayal thing, then you have to talk to that person. That's hard to do, particularly depending on who the person is and how you're feeling. But a lot of adult kids are walking around with a lot of disappointment and betrayal and broken heart from childhood. Again, just take the time to go through it. Sometimes you just have to let a sore heal. You just have to doctor on it. You just have to take medication for it if you have to. You have to put some things on it to help it heal. And a lot of times we try to cover it up. We put a Band-Aid on it. And as you know, sometimes a Band-Aid will make it worse, make some sores worse. So you just have to allow yourself time to heal and stop adding to the disappointment. Sometimes we get out of a marriage. I think Tika shared with us one time before. Tika, correct me if I'm wrong, if you did some study about how long it takes, or you should wait. This is just kind of standard, I guess, worldly standard, how long you should wait. And after you divorce, how long you should wait for every number of years you were married, how long you should wait before you remarry. I can't remember what that was, but I remember I think you were sharing something about that with us on a previous show. But allow yourself time to heal before moving forward. Otherwise, you are taking, you're mixing dirty laundry with clean laundry, so to speak. And it's going to come a time you don't know if you're putting on dirty clothes or clean clothes. We don't want to do that. So allow yourself time to heal. Get out. As we said early on in the show, people, two of our viewers decided to go out and have dinner. They took themselves out to dinner. I'm always just amazed how many people are just afraid to go to a movie by themselves. Go have dinner by yourself. Go walk. by yourself. I mean, I had the most joyous time yesterday at the park. Not a lot of money put into it. Walking the nature trail, people are out playing frisbee. They're out doing nothing. Some people are just out laying on a blanket, got sandwiches. Get out. And you don't have to wait for someone to do that. Take your broken heart out, and it will heal. Just get out, socialize, exercise, you know, eat better, do things for you. You have to put yourself first and work to change. Learn not to hate the other person. We have to learn to resolve. That's again, not always easy to do, but it goes back to that anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, betrayal. And I think for me, one of the times I knew that I was growing the most is when there was someone that I felt like had broke my heart, that had truly broken my heart. And basically, I came to a point where I wanted them to be happy. Like, I wanted nothing but happiness for them. And that was a sign of growth for me. So you have to want that. If you got God in your life, you have to want that for the other person as well. So I'm going to see how Tika's feeling and see if she can jump in here.
I can. When you asked before, what was that breakdown of for however long you're married, and that breakdown was for every 4 years you're married, you should take 1 year to heal. And I remember when I first heard that, I thought, okay, that's a life sentence you're trying to give me. I'm going to be up and running in a couple of years. And never did I think that I would be 5 years single, because I thought, okay, I got a lot to offer. I'm going to heal really, really quickly. And I learned this through a divorce recovery class. I'm going to heal really, really quickly and going to be out there in the dating scene. But it's not good or healthy to go and even think you can be in the dating scene when you're still broken. And just because you don't look broken, but you know your insides are just ripped to shreds, or your mindset and your way of thinking and your perception is ripped to shreds, that's the worst time to date. If you really had it to be on the outside looking in, would you go around and choose the person who's broken and then say, come and let's make a life together? Absolutely not. You won't intentionally go out and find a broken person versus a whole person and want to make a life or a future with that person. So why do you look at yourself in the mirror and say, I'm going to take my broken self out and go and see if I can be one with somebody and live happily ever after? It's not going to happen. So they said for every 4 years you marry, take a year to heal. And honestly, the longer you're married, it's not that. If you're married 10 years, you don't need 10 years to heal. But the brokenness that you've gone through, it didn't happen overnight, and there is a process of healing, and you can't rush it. Time, there's a lot of healing that can take place in time. It's so much that you can learn about you and who you are, because usually the longer that you're married, a lot of people tend to lose bits and parts and pieces of themselves. They forget who they are. They forget what they like. They forget what they wanted to do. They forget the dreams that they used to have, and you're able to learn yourself all over again, or you're able to dismiss and reject the unhealthy part of you that you once allowed to just be that negative voice in your head. You're able to just take better steps towards a productive life. And honestly speaking, who wouldn't want to take the right road in becoming healthy, becoming whole, and becoming filled with an inner joy that no one can rob you of? Because joy will not come from that other person. We always hear that. But if you walk out broken with this big, gigantic Band-Aid wrapped around your body and think that you're going to go out and find someone to complete you, it's impossible. And so that's what I've learned in going through divorce and then going through a period of being single. And now I'm actually content. I never thought, had God shown me a visual that, okay, you're going to be single for 5 years and then you're still not going to know, I don't know what I would have done. I may have told God, well, I'm just going to stay where I am. But he didn't show me. He just allowed me to walk through it. And I don't know what the next 5 days holds, and I don't know what the next 5 years holds, but I got to put my trust in him. Because honestly speaking, if he's walking me into a place of wholeness, I don't want anything but wholeness. I'm not picky. I'm just wise. I'm not choicy. I'm just walking with wisdom. And if wholeness is what I'm bringing to the table, I don't want anything less than that. If walking with God is what I'm bringing to the table, I don't want anybody else that's not walking with God. I don't want that. There won't be any opposites attract in that area. Equally yoked is not just something that God says. If you feel like being equally yoked, then that's who you connect with. He gives us a set of rules and standards to live by. And if I choose to go, because I've also had people ask, why are you still single for this long? Well, it's not like I sat back and made a conscious choice to do this, but I will recognize him when he comes before me, but I haven't recognized him. And so I'm at peace with where I am now. I wasn't in this first year. After I was a year single, after I was 2 years single, I wasn't at peace then. But then it's amazing to where when you're able to sit still, you recognize and you're able to see all the things in you that need to be taken out, that need to be weeded out. Like Tammy was saying earlier, you know, and like I mentioned earlier, the different dynamics that you bring into a relationship. A lot of times we don't look into the mirror and see the ugly in us. We look and we see how pretty we are, and we see the outside, and we don't look inside. But to me, brokenness has a way of making you stop and stand still and take a look on the inside, because there's a part of you that wants to know, if there's something wrong with me, Lord, will you please reveal it? If I'm in denial, if I don't want to see it, Lord, will you please reveal it? And so this time has given me the time to see all the ugly things that were in me, because I do have a lot of good things in me, but it's some ugly things that I had in me as well. And we don't get do-overs, of course, but we are able to do better when we know better. And so, Tim, right. I'm going to turn it back over to you, because I feel
you.
This
yeah,
call
I hear
coming.
You a little fair. And it's like Tika said, you know, she is, I can see Tika being able to move forward, you know, like she's ready to move forward. And you don't do that overnight after going through a breakup and things like that. So, you know, that is so true that it takes some time to get over things and people and broken hearts, because otherwise you're being unfair not to yourself but to the other person as well. It's like you are fighting a losing battle when you take those things into your relationships. In most cases, we're not open and share with the people that, hey, look, you know, my heart has been broken. This has happened to me before. You know, be upfront, be sincere, tell that person. Now, that doesn't mean that that's always going to matter, but you still have a responsibility. If you're going to be in a relationship, if we're going to live in this world and live, have life, experience life, and experience it more abundantly, then we got to be able to get these shackles off of us, get this bondage off of us, understand that heartbreaks does not mean the end of life. It does not mean you don't open yourself up to love. I've seen some people and know some people that hearts have been so broken, but they're in meaningful relationships. Not a whole lot that I've seen, but I do see people that give us hope, you know, that this is doable, but there's some things I have to do as well. There's some things I have to change about me. I have to get rid of some of these insecurities, this jealousy, always about me, me, me. What can you do for me? Well, what can we do for each other? So mm-hmm. I received a message from someone, and I want to read it. They said that they were not able to call in, but they wanted me to share this. And it's from a male listener, and I'm going to read it just as he sent it over. I can't call in, but being heartbroken by something or someone that you invested your sincere efforts for hurt a lot more when you gave them trust. I didn't get that part. But it's in when you gave them trust and your best beyond just loving them, you devoted your life to. So you devoted your life to them. That's a different level of heartbreak. And, again, that's from one of our male listeners, and he's just saying that. And we talked about that. Well, I don't know if I got that far, but in with males, I think once a male feels that they have given above and beyond, their heartbreak, I really do believe it is different from ours. And I think women, we as women, when we're broken and we're hurt, we can miss out on some good men when we are still broken and when we're still hurt. We can be blinded in that broken heart.
In that area.
We can miss things.
With women, to me, like we mentioned earlier, since we talk, it heals us when we actually have someone to maybe even if they're sharing a similar situation or just their healing process. When women, we open up and we share with one another. And I think men tend to close up and they keep it in. And I think that our healing process is lessened by that, by healing and by opening up. And you know, we'll go to a divorce recovery class, or we'll go to a group session or Bible studies, or we'll go through a lot of different things because, of course, the hurt is unbearable for both parties, but it's like I see women just having a desire to, okay, I want to get this hurt off of me. What do I have to do? And men are so private. Men are private, and I mean that's just their makeup. But I think that's how we heal so much faster, and I think that's also why we're able to do it again. Okay, well, I'm going to trust again. I'm going to love again. Versus I've heard a lot of people tell me, well, man, they'll love once, or they're not willing to try again for a very long time, or they do try again, but they never give their all. And no matter what, nobody's supposed to get your all anyway other than God. But a lot of times you don't realize that first time going in. But for me, from my perspective and my relationship situation, no matter what, I'm going to wait on God because I couldn't dare imagine getting in or jumping ahead of God or saying to God, well, you're taking too long, because that's what I did last time. So I would never do that again. But, you know, once upon a time, I thought I was just getting old and I'm in a hurry, Lord, and you're taking too long. All the reasons that we tell God and we justify that God is taking too long. So we need to jump ahead of him and we're going to go on and pick our Miss Right or pick our Mr. Right. And so now I don't have a desire to jump ahead of God. I don't have a desire to tell him to hurry up. I don't have a desire to help him out. I have a desire just to wait on him. But I think that men, I think that their healing process would be different if they would open up. And I think, you know, since that trust issue has been broken, I think that's major because who do they even trust to talk to? Who's there that they can trust and share that they have been hurt?
Right, and I think society raises them. You know, we as a society raise men not to open up and talk and share.
Mm-hmm. Boys don't cry.
Right, every man needs needs a person in their life. Everybody, every person needs a person in their life that they can talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly, and not be judged, and not, you know, you just have to. Everyone needs someone that they can that they can go to, and it goes back to, you know, your circle. You need a circle of people in your life that you can go to at any time and express how you feel about any situation, and know that, you know, you will not be judged for it. So, men, you're out there listening, you know. Get someone in your life. Be mindful of again, who you go to for life's instructions, advice. But get someone in your life that you trust and can talk to. And for mothers and fathers, you know, don't raise men to feel like they can't be expressive with their feelings. And so getting back to what, if anything, we can do to mend a broken heart, it was just a few, and there's, you know, always more, and you just need to do what it takes, do what's necessary, do what you need to do, and, of course, always, always include God in it and always pray about it, constantly pray about that and anything. So that is key. Why is it important to identify these areas? Because we miss out on life when we don't. We miss out on love. We miss out on that open door. We allow one to close or one closes, and we think that's it. We don't want to walk through the next door. We don't have faith. We don't have trust in what God has for us. So closing yourself off basically sends the wrong signals, even to people that are to the person that's there for you next. It's closing yourself off to your future. So that's not fair when you're trying to, again, when you think you're going to move out of one relationship and right into another. How are you going to do that? How are you going to successfully do that? And that's why they say more second marriages end in divorce than the first one. Because, you know, now you're married to one person. You're married twice, but now you got just one wife. So basically what I'm saying is you're still married to door number one and going through door number one emotionally, and you're still having to deal with the emotional aspects of the second marriage. And I think, again, because we move forward so quickly trying to satisfy the world, women, you know, I got to have a man or I'm not complete. So many women define who they are on if I have a man or if I don't, you know. So we go through life looking to be fulfilled by men. And like our caller said, you set your expectations up and your faith and your trust in that, in them. And when it's gone, now you're trying to figure out why my heart is broken again. So it's important to identify these areas so that you can live life, so those things can die so that you can live, and that we have to start addressing issues and just allowing ourselves to go through things and allowing ourselves to heal. But again, we put so much focus on things and places and people. I heard today that more than 5 million people purchased the new iPhone 5. I think I have that right. Wow. That more than 5 million people purchased this iPhone. And that the, whatever that word, technology world, I guess that's a good way to say it, that they are disappointed because they were expecting more purchases. So 5 million, over 5 million people purchased the new iPhone. Now, these are people who probably already had number 4. Yes, that they probably already had number 4. But 5 million people, and the stats today was that they were disappointed because they were expecting more sales. Again, be content. I think some of us, some of the people that bought them probably should have taken that money and you know, got some counseling. Start investing your time money wisely. And the counseling is okay. I missed that one. What can you do? You know, if you don't feel like you can talk with someone, sometimes it's good to have a person, a counselor in your life. Churches have them nowadays. You can go to counseling free, in most cases. Biblical counseling.
A lot of churches. Mm-hmm.
Right. They're going to encourage you on the biblical aspect. So there's always things or ways you can do to move forward past your broken heart, but don't allow your broken heart to remain. I text Tika and said, you know, broken. I just was thinking out loud, and a broken heart reminds me of a flat tire. If you have a flat tire in your car, but you never change it, you're just going to drive around forever on that flat tire. It's just like walking around life with a broken heart. Again, you know, you can drive on that flat tire for so long. You can live life with that broken heart for so long until it becomes you're not living life. You're the walking dead, and you're just taking up space and taking up air, even in your own life. So, you know, embrace life. Embrace life. And like we said last week in the show, survival for me, although my life is not perfect, although I'm not perfect, I feel that I've already survived because I trust that things that I'm continuing to go through, things that I've gone through, that I've already survived because I know who I am. I know that God has a hold of me. I know that all these things, all these feelings, they are necessary, they are needed in order for me to get to that next door and go through that next door and prepare for the next one. So you're already or survival and start dealing with people in truth regardless. I think so many times we get caught up on doing the right thing, and I got this through going to counseling, and she said sometimes doing the right thing is not always the God thing to do. And they had to soak in for a while, but see, sometimes you're so busy trying to be Miss Right and do Miss Right, and you're interfering with God's lessons, with God's timing, with God's thing. So unless God is instructing you to do something, sometimes you just need to sit back and let allow yourself to go through some things, but allow people, other people in your life to go through some things as well. You can't be a hindrance to people. You can't, you know, overdo it in your doings, because then they will depend upon you and not God and not themselves as well. And people have to learn to be self-sufficient. So, you know, there's so many things to get from this A Broken Heart. I'm sure you guys probably didn't think it would get so into depth, and how much more can you talk about Broken Heart. But your heart steers you many places. So we need to take care of that on the physical aspect and the emotional aspect of it, because we live life through our heart. We do, and our minds. We talked about the heart and the mind. You know, some people say you have to get them to think alike, and some people say you have to get them to connect and be able to determine which one to follow. Do what's best for you, but incorporate God's word and know that you have control over what you do, what you think, and how you do it, and how you allow things to affect your life. You make that choice. You may not be able to control every thought that comes into your mind, but once you realize that that thought is there, you have control over how you allow it to manipulate or to maneuver or to set the standard for your life. So the lines are open. I see that we have a good number of you out listening tonight. And again, thank you all for listening, because we know the football game is on. But, you know, the lines are open. We'd like to, we still have some time here. We won't keep you if you guys don't have anything. But if you have, this is the time. If you have something you want to share, the lines are open. I am going to, you could check the chat line here. So, but the lines are open if you all do have something. I think I just got something in. Okay. I was thinking, let's see. Okay, we do have a caller. And I'm sorry, caller. We have a caller from 678, the last four, 9759. You're on air with us.
Hey, Tammy. Hey, Tika. Can you hear me?
We can. And I think I left you out there. I thought that I clicked you in by mistake, so I apologize. You've been waiting for a while.
Okay. Two things. The first thing, last Tuesday I took myself out on a date, and I had a great time. I had a blast, actually. And to be there and see people staring, like 6:30 in the afternoon, to see other people staring like, are you by yourself, you know? Even the waiter and the waitress are like, are you alone? I'm like, yeah, I'm alone. I sat down and got a glass of water with lemon and just began to sink. You know, I am single. I'm not dating, no kids. But you know what? I'm spending time with me. I'm having a great time. And I've done that before. It's been a long time. But just to be encouraged last week by Tammy and Tika to do it again, I felt great. And, again, it was a blast. So thank you guys for that. The topic tonight, brokenhearted. I've had a broken heart, what, three times in a relationship, family relations. That was, I had some broken heart dealing with that. And betrayal of friends. And I would like to say to that tonight, but God. My last relationship was 3 years ago, and I mean, I went through it. I just thought he was my all. He was what God sent. And in reality, God is my all. He's my everything. I took 3 years and focused more on God and focused more on learning to love me. and not be so hate, you know, have so much hatred in my heart for those past relationships. I learned to forgive me first in order to forgive them. And I can truly sit here and say that I have forgiven each and every one of them. I know that God has something in store for this life of 38 years. You know, we all can do all things through Christ, which strengthens all of us. There's nothing that God can do. There's nothing too hard that he can't do for each of us. I know that I have the faith and I have to have the belief that, you know, God's word is bond, you know. Things are going to happen as he said it will. But do I sit around every day? No. Worrying about it? No. I have struggled spiritually, like I said before, in having that time of, you know, extra time on my hand. But I truly have to say that I know who I am, and I know that God is my everything. And giving him all of me, I know in return that this life is going to be better. If I don't get that husband or those twins, then he's done enough. He really has. But, yeah, that has been brokenhearted on within me, you know, and that I've learned to not learn to deal with. I wouldn't say get over it because I don't think we ever get over it. It's still there in our mind, but we learn to deal with it. And for me, tonight's topic is, I mean, just perfect. Because sometimes we think we have it all together, and we don't have it all together by a chance. But God, but if we keep believing and trusting in God, there is nothing that he won't do for us. And like the caller, the first caller, say the gentleman said, every day is not going to be perfect. He didn't guarantee that. And nobody is perfect. If we were perfect, he never would have died on that cross for us. We're not perfect. We're made in that image, but we're not perfect. And so we have to learn that, take everything that we go through, especially me, I can speak for me. I'm taking everything that I go through and learn from it. Because when that right one come along, when I clash into him, I want to be ready, you know? I want to be ready to accept what God has for me. So thank you guys again, Tika and Tammy, for this tonight. It's really been a great help for me. So, again, thank you, guys. God bless. Love you, guys. Bye.
Thank you for sharing. And that is so true. You know, people should add to our lives. People, relationships, again, you know, for women and men, men should not be your life. Women should, your significant other should not be your life. They should add to your life. They should complement your life. They should you should be able to work together to become better, but your being, your everything, your life should not depend on this relationship or this person, because that is definitely when it will be snatched away from you. And I think many women are guilty of that, and some men as well, when a man comes along, off they go. They, you know, by the first date, they're already to the three children and the white picket fence, and you really don't even know who they are. It changes. We are set out to want that type of relationship, to want, particularly women. I'm speaking about women. We are set out to want that nurturing relationship, that person that we feel that has chosen us, that above, you know, in the midst of everybody, above all, you do it for me. You're it. We long for that. We want that. But women, don't, like our caller said, don't put your everything, like, this is, if I don't have this, if this doesn't work out, this is the end. This is the end of me. I shared this story with you before, and I can't remember the pastor's name, but he shared this story that this woman just knew that this man was for her. This was her husband, to the point that she had them praying for this relationship, and it did not work out. And she ended up leaving the church. She felt like God had not answered her prayer. But later, many years later, she comes back and explains that this person had been married, I believe, four times. He was, you know, had been divorced several times, had a string of kids in each marriage. But she had moved on. She was married happily, had a husband and her children. And she was able to see at that point why that did not work out for her. So, again, we just have to trust that door that closes and expect greatness from the next door. Expect that one of these doors are going to have it. It doesn't mean we run out and, you know, sometimes you just need to wait and, like, spend time with yourself. Go to eat by yourself. Get to know yourself so that when someone comes into your life or when these things and situations and these disappointments and these betrayals and backstabbing come into your life, you're able to deal with them because you know, again, that all things work to the good. Sometimes I think we don't believe that because we don't feel deserving of it. We feel separated from God and God's greatness and his promises based on our lifestyle. But God doesn't turn his back on us because of that. We separate ourselves because of our lifestyle. And again, you have to continue to remind yourself that I'm a work in progress, just as everybody else is. I'm a work in progress. So thank you all for listening. I'm going to give it back over. Tika, how are you coming?
I'm ready to close.
Okay. I didn't know if you were.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Just real quick before we do, you guys, the lines are, we have more time, so if there's anybody out there that want to come in, if you have a comment or a question, you know, go ahead and select the number one. We do have more time. I added some more time to this show because I just didn't want to run out of time. I felt like we ran out of time last week, so we do have the time, so select the number one for those of you who are still on. I know that we've kept you quite a while. Otherwise, and Teek, I don't see anybody coming in. So otherwise, you can go ahead and share the rest of your thoughts and close it out if you'd like.
Okay. Just wanted to end with the question. I wanted to bring this in a little earlier, but just like I said, if you throw it, I wasn't able to. But how does one find healing for a broken heart? How does one find healing for a heart that has been broken by past hurts? And I was able to find that the book of James has been called the most practical book of the Bible, and so you can find a lot of answers through the book of James. And I have four reasons prior to closing out, not four reasons, but four solutions. The first one is to surrender to the proper authority, because God is the creator of the universe. And the Bible tells us that God heals, restores, and gives life. Two, confess and let go. James 4:8 says to wash your hands, purify your hearts, the double-minded. Take an honest assessment of your heart and the role that you may have played in this relationship. Three, don't slander. Whatever way that you were hurt, I know it's tempting to complain and to criticize, but whatever you do, don't slander the other party. And four, to give grace instead of judgment. Trust the Lord to examine the heart and motives of those who may have hurt you and leave all judgment to him. You will find that by letting go of this responsibility, it is tremendously liberating, and it will allow God to fully heal and restore your heart. Thank you all for listening and tuning in to another episode of Butterfly Evolution. We pray that you take these steps and apply these practices in our ways that we share with you on mending a broken heart and moving forward. Thank you.
Before you do, I think we have a caller. I'm sorry. So we said we'd just keep going. So it just came up, and I'm not sure if they really want to come in, but let's see if we can, okay?
Okay.
This is from the 770 area code, and the last four is 0642. Caller, if you have a comment or question, you are on the air with us.
I have more so of a comment. Hi, ladies. How are you?
We're good. Hello. How are you?
Pretty good. Just to say that most of the time I try to tell people that it is definitely okay to get it out and cry. Someone would ask me, like, what would I think or what would I do, or if someone cheated on me, and would I leave? And I would say that was just up to them, because it's always up to the person. But I always said, you know, get that crying out. Don't hold that in, because in having a broken heart and you all saying let go, people don't realize that broken hearts can make you extremely sick. And you don't want that. that's something that you want to definitely avoid, is becoming sick. From having a broken heart, you can become extremely sick. So you need to let it out in whichever way, shape, or form. And just from Tika saying, you know, don't lash out. Of course you do not want to lash out. But if you have to, you want to get somewhere where you can scream. You want to get somewhere where you can actually maybe write a letter and just mail it not to that person but back to yourself. That way that it's, you've gotten it out and gotten it off, so that you still can feel a release. But you want to cry, you want to ask God to hold you and to hug you, because that's what he's there for, and he can do such. Once you have an intimate relationship with him, you will be able to understand and be able to tap into things of such meaning, hugging him. Just letting him hold you, letting him wipe your tears away, and it'll be able to help you in releasing and getting through your broken heart. But you do want to make a release. You want to release all of those things, because if you do not, you will find yourself getting extremely sick. You can become dehydrated. You can not eat. Things like this do occur, and it depends on the person, but it depends on the particular breakup in which it is. So you do want to watch it. You want to look for different signs in friends also to make sure that your friend is okay during a breakup, because that is the time that they're vulnerable to everything, so you want to be there for them. And that's all that I had to say, but I enjoyed the show.
Thank you. And you are so, I was actually, while you were talking, looking for something that I had read today, to where it actually, there's a name for what you're saying, that it does, there are such severe cases of broken heart to where it does mm-hmm. make you sick, and there is a name for it. So you're exactly right. I could not, I could not go back to it. But I did read it today. I'm getting choked up now. But I did read it where, and I guess it's a form of stress as well. It just
yes, it is.
You're sick. It really can. So I like the idea of writing a letter and sending it to yourself. And you made me think about journaling as well. For those of you men as well, if you don't journal, you know, journals come a dollar or so, you know, from certain stores. Journaling is a really good thing. I don't do it as often as I should. Excuse me, you guys, but it is a good thing to do. So I like that. Write the letter and send it to yourself. So, well, thank you, caller, for tuning in and listening to us. I know that you're calling from Georgia, so it's really late where you are. So thank you.
Oh, yes. I just was trying to wait until my kids went all the way to sleep so that I could speak.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you so much.
But thank you, ladies.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, you guys, I know I have outsourced my voice. I have gone far, far beyond it. So, Zika, if you could do what you need to do.
Okay.
Close it out one more time.
I'll just end with a different closing of just saying, as in all of our shows, the goal is to win in life, and meaning that we should live and not die. Our goal is to move forward by forgetting our past and pressing toward our future. Our goal is to be renewed by possessing a new mindset, and the goal is to be the person that God designed you to be and encourage others through the way that you live, through the way that you love, and to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Until next week, God bless you all, and good night.
Good night, everyone. Thank you for listening.